Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Recruiting Animal here on September 4th, 2019. I have a cold today, so I'm not going to do any shouting. I'm going to leave it to Jerry. Jerry, what show is it?
The Recruiting Animal Show.
Thank you, Jerry. Thank you. Look, I'd like to thank my sponsors before we get going. PC Recruiter, the Swiss Army knife of recruiting software. HireTool, H-I-R-E-T-U-A-L, the super-duper sourcing tool. And Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T, the phone interview technology. I know the guest today interviewed the CEO of Honeit, Nick Livingston. I'll ask him about that. I had a question for Jerry, actually, but he hasn't shown up. I think I'm going to start calling him the Oracle of Indiana, okay? And I'll see if it sticks. Anyway, my guest today, do I sound enthusiastic? Sorry, I have a cold. I think my voice maybe sounds a little better than usual. But my guest is a guy who says he's got the number one recruiting show, Higher Power. His name is Rick Gerard. And his Twitter address is at Rick, R-I-C-K, underscore Gerard, G-I-R-A-R-D. There must be a million ways to spell Gerard. Is that true, Rick?
I know of like two or three.
Okay,
it's
we've got a
Gerard
Avenue here.
Right?
It's not spelled your way, okay? Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay, so you've got the number one recruiting show. How did you come up with that claim? Just pulled it out of thin air?
For my audience, yes. We gear our podcast toward entrepreneurs and business leaders. So
you don't say that in your ad, okay?
I do read it.
It's just the number one recruiting show.
Read it again. It's on the website. It says designed for entrepreneurs and business leaders, hiring managers.
Yeah, but it doesn't clarify, okay, this is only the number one recruiting show in this business sector, okay, or this professional sector. I got the number one recruiting show. Anyway, you say as well that your show is disruptive. What does that mean exactly? To me, it's just a cliche. It doesn't mean anything. What does it mean to you?
It is cliche. I'm actually coming off the disruptive kick. I don't know. I try to do things differently than most people do. Again, that was, it's marketing semantics.
Okay. You know what? You're going to have to prove that. I try to do things differently than most people do. I know this is your shtick. I listened to your webinar, okay? And I linked to it. Everybody should listen. Okay, I just want to clarify. My show is not disruptive. It's eruptive, okay? I have the number one eruptive show in recruiting. But if someone wants to listen to your show, which is good, it's Higher Power Radio. If you do a search on that, it'll come up. Your company, your recruiting firm is called StrideSearch.com and then /Higher Power Radio. If you want to go there directly, anything else we should do for intro? What kind of people do you recruit?
Wow. Thank you for the plug. I appreciate it. I recruit primarily sales, marketing, and technical leadership for tech startups. That's my niche.
Technical leadership. Well, what titles do you have? What titles are we talking about there?
CTOs, technical directors, heads of technology.
But not developers.
Not so much. Usually, if it's a hard to fill role, I'll do it. I'm fully retained, so I don't take things on contingency anymore.
Okay. Let me just see if Jerry showed up here. Nope. Michael G. Cox is here though.
Jerry?
Good. He doesn't like the show anymore. I was gonna make him an offer. I was gonna say that occasionally we could have the Oracle of Indiana show where he would bring his guest that he wants and he could lead the show. To get him back in here, but I don't think he's interested. He's had enough of the show.
Animal, do you have a cold?
Yeah, I got a cold. I said so.
Yeah.
Thank you.
See,
thank you, Kathy.
I hope you feel better. No, you can tell. You know, we
do I sound better? Do I sound better, Kathy, than usual? Better?
I am. I feel like 90%. I feel so good.
Yeah.
So,
I'm glad to hear that, but that's not what I asked
you.
I asked you, do I sound better with a cold? My voice is a little deeper.
Oh, I thought you said, do I feel better? No, I because you can hear the stuffiness.
Oh, okay. Sorry,
you
everybody. Thank you,
but
Kathy,
you
for that
voice.
Important feedback.
No, but
okay.
You have a great radio voice no matter what.
Thank you, Kathy. And in fact, you know what? I'm going to ask you the first question before I even put it out to the guest. Cleavage on LinkedIn. Kelly, our good friend Kelly, regular listener, she posted on Twitter somebody else's question. Is it ever appropriate for a recruiter to display cleavage on LinkedIn? What do you think, Kathy?
I don't agree. I don't think it is. But,
no.
You know,
why?
A lot of – I just don't think it's appropriate. I just think you need to really be present your best self forward because a lot of hiring companies are going to look at your LinkedIn.
Yeah, well, maybe the cleavage is part of your best self. Hey, maybe that's the best part, okay?
Well,
let me go to the guest.
I don't like it.
Rick. Well, let's ask the man, Rick. Cleavage on LinkedIn. What do you say?
Use it or lose it. I mean, if you got it, why not?
Okay.
The fact is, from a selfish approach, I'd like it if they didn't because there's an unfair advantage, me being a male. But the fact of the matter is, hey, it's nice to look at.
Okay, you don't think people will find it sleazy, which is sort of what Kathy is implying. Hey, this is not what we're talking about. We're not talking about sex. We're talking about business and cover up. That's not your attitude at all.
Does it get somebody to return your phone call?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking. What about this? What about on a man, an open shirt with a hairy chest and a gold chain? Acceptable?
Ask Mike Astringer. That's him.
What about
Selleck?
Rick? Yeah, what about Rick?
Hey, man, if it works, go for it.
Okay,
Tom Jones.
Well,
I worked for Tom Jones for a long time, right? So.
Yeah, I did, but he wasn't a recruiter. Okay, look,
that's true.
What about a recruiter on my Facebook group asked, he said, am I a monster for finding it really off-putting when parents reach out to me on behalf of their college-aged children? Do you agree with him? Is he a monster?
For becoming enraged about it? I don't know. I kind of politely say that's not what I do and point them toward, like, some transaction.
Okay, let's say you were doing college recruiting. Would you feel it was a bad thing if the parents got in touch with you instead of the kid?
No, I'm pretty open like that. I'll talk to people. I mean, I'll
– Yes, you're very relaxed. Kathy's tougher than you.
He is.
Okay,
well,
let's see what kind of marshmallow you are. Kathy, what do you think?
I was going to say that – You know, my son would kill me if he applied for a job and I called the hiring manager. I mean, I just think at some point you have to step away, and I'd be turned off by that.
Is this an actual issue? Like, is this actually happening in the world?
Yeah, if your kids are sleeping on your
couch,
you probably are going to help out, right? Like, try and get them out of your house.
Well, no.
Obviously, Michael G. Cox, no one's calling you about their kids. Am I right about that?
Hell no, dude. Nobody does that.
Okay, hold on a second. No, that's not true. Nobody does it.
There is an exception to every rule, but the rule is nobody does that.
Okay, I don't think that's a rule. But hold on, Kathy. Let me go back to Kathy for a second. Don't you think you could present your kid better than he could present himself?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They'd be asking questions about him that I have no idea about in terms of what he studied and what his interests are and all that. No, you know,
enough with that. We're not talking about college recruiting here. That's enough of that, okay? Now, look, we're getting to the guest's own real stuff. I'm going to quote the guest this time. Here's what he says. I love, 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 love hearing the phrase, I'm not looking right now, or I'm not interested, or yeah, maybe later. Those are magic words to me, okay? Those are curse words to me, Rick. I don't like to hear those words. Why are they so special to you?
All right, so I'm going to use a term that you guys all hate, and I know it's going to piss some people off, but that tunes me into somebody who's not actively looking for a job, and they're probably a passive candidate, right? So
I like it. That's fine with me.
I'll get rid of that.
Okay with me. Okay.
Yeah, so it tunes me into that. So here's the thing. You know, if you just run off basic LinkedIn statistics and what people are telling you and all the 80-some percent of people in the U.S. population are dissatisfied in their current role. To me, what that means when they say I'm not interested or I'm not looking right now is I don't want to hear you pitch me a job. And so I don't. Now, I know
okay.
that they're not interested in hearing me
well,
pitch a job.
Well, let me interrupt you then before so I don't have a good memory
yeah.
anymore. But first of all,
yeah.
all that crap about these statistics, 85% of the people, you know, are want a different job. If that was true, nobody would be saying this. I'm not looking right now. It's if they're curious, they're not going to turn you off just because they think you're going to try to sell them on something. They'll want to hear it. So that's my point of view. You don't have to argue with me on that.
I don't think so. I don't think that people want to hear you pitch them another job. I mean, look at how many times do people get bombarded with, at least in my market,
what does
right?
the pitch mean? Let's define your terms.
Absolutely.
What's a pitch?
Sure. A
what
pitch
do you mean
would
by
be,
pitch?
Hey, look at it. All right, a pitch would be, hey, look at it. I found your profile on LinkedIn, and I thought you'd be a perfect fit for my company. My company does this, this, and this, and here's my job. That's a pitch.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay.
Would you agree?
Just so you are aware, LinkedIn tries telling recruiters that in your in-mail you should be including all of the information about the opportunity, the culture, the pay, everything. And they're stating that because that's what prospective candidates, job hunters, have said that they want in that initial email. Now, the danger is you give them everything that they think they want or that they truly do want, and now they have enough information, or at least they think they have enough information to make that decision on their own. But you're not supposed to do that because you need to have the conversation versus just saying, well, it pays this much, because there are variables that you need to account for.
Okay, that's what Jerry says too. I know what he says. He says you can't give them the info. You have to be there to clarify things and contradict their misperceptions. Don't let them reject it in their ignorance. But Rick does something different. First of all, Rick, when your outreach, is it your initial outreach, is it through email or on the phone or some other method? What are you doing?
Look, I always start phone first. If I can get a live voice on the phone.
Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, why start with email campaigns? I am so against this whole push for, employer branding and all this bullshit. I mean, I see the value in it, but the fact of the matter is it doesn't attract passive talent to your company like everybody says it does. It doesn't attract people to your company, whatever messaging, because it's the same messaging that everybody else is saying. So I'm going to call people first, and I'm going to have a conversation with them.
What's your opening line? And since you're telling us you're doing things differently,
yeah.
What's your opening line? Joe Blow or Jenny Kadeckel says, hi, hello. What do you say?
All right. So look, so I'm going to open up with, I know I have 7 to 10 seconds to get them to say yes to something, right? The old Boiler Room. You guys remember that movie Boiler Room where he said, hey, look, get somebody to say yes in the first 7 to 10 seconds of the phone call. So true. So if I get somebody to say yes in one way or another, then I got the door open that I can have a conversation with them. Now, my goal is to get this person talking about themselves rather than me talking about my role or what I'm calling them about. So my first opening is going to be, hey, look, I had you pop up on my radar. It's going to be some version of, hey, I had you pop up on my radar in a search that I'm doing for one of my partner companies. Just wanted to find out if you'd be open to hearing about something that could potentially be career advancing for you.
Old Man, that Peter is so radical. Leftwich. I can't believe it. You are different.
No,
you are disruptive. Wow.
I know, right? Look at it. That's stuff that I've, you know, that's just a normal opening thing, right? And somebody's going to usually say no.
Hold on. You missed something.
No,
there was
I'm
something
not.
Different. You
what?
Didn't say, hi, my name is. I am a recruiter. Do you do that? Do you introduce yourself by name and job title?
Nope.
You didn't say
it? No.
You're kidding.
And nobody
You're
cares.
Joking.
No, I don't.
Did they can figure that out and also the
I couldn't figure it out. I'd say, who's this? Someone trying to molest me? I mean, really, I would be scared.
But they don't care. The truth is that people don't care when you get them on the phone. They don't care what about the words that come out of your mouth. I mean, what they care about is themselves, right? So if I can get somebody talking about themselves really quickly, and then I can use that to position
Okay, so you ask them, first of all, if they'll talk to you. What if they say no? Because that's what you said. You love it when they say no.
Open the hearing.
So dude, nobody answers.
No, what I'm asking them if they're open to hearing about. Now, I'm not asking them if they're looking for another opportunity. I'm asking if they're just open to hearing. It's very kind of.
I'm happy,
right?
I'm happy where I am, Mr. Mystery
cool.
Man, Mr. Recruiter.
I totally. And if you're happy where you are, great. Then I'm going to ask why, and I'm going to, you know. But I don't get that so much. I get sure I'm open to hearing. What do you got? And it usually goes into, like. You know, I'm going to push it to either get them to hang up on me or get them to. I mean, if they say no, I'm great here. I love it here. I don't ever want to leave. Then why push it? It's not going to happen, right?
You're like Jerry in the end. You're a pushover. Jerry said he's made lot of money. You know, accepting no's from people. He's got a better line. He puts it better than I do. He's made a lot of money. You know, saying, okay, when people say no. And you're saying the same thing. I thought you were a guy who, you know, loves objections because the sale begins when the customer says no. You're not like that. You're not like that at all, right?
No, I am like that. So, again, I'm trying to not get the no, so I'm not setting myself up for a no, right? So if they say no, I'm not looking right now. Again, I'm not asking if you're looking. I'm just asking if you're just open to hearing about something potentially stronger. In most cases, I might reframe that question a couple, two or three times in order to get them to say yes. So I am persistent on that front. I'm not going to just roll over and back off.
So, okay. So you'll ask
them. I get them
to say
yeah, sure, I'm open to hear.
Hold on. I want to hear the two other ways you ask. They say no, and you say, I'm not pushing it on you. I just want to know. I just want to have a couple minutes of your time. Is that what you say? I mean, you said you come back a few times. What do you do?
Yeah, so I just rephrased the question. So, look, I didn't ask you if you were looking. I just asked if you were open to hearing about something that could potentially impact your, you know, your professional and personal career objectives or whatever, right? I phrased it a couple different ways. But, again, I'm
don't
just trying to get
burning,
them to say yes.
Like, don't you think
Michael
you're burning one of your lives in doing that? Like, I get that you're setting it up
How am
to
I burning lives? I only have one
off.
Shot.
Let Michael G.
Well,
Cox
hang on,
talk. He's a wise man, okay? Go ahead.
You're setting it up from the get-go saying, are you open to just, you know, simply listening or learning about an opportunity that may or may not be better than what you currently have in, you know. But you only have so many objections that you can burn through or lives, if you will. And I get what you're doing when you're setting yourself up for success in the initial objection where they say, no, I'm not interested in an offer. Thank you for the offer. And then you can respond, well, I never gave you an offer. I never offered you anything other than just the opportunity
Michael G.
to
Cox,
learn more.
I just said you're smart. Can you get to the point already?
I rather than going through that process, you know, why not just say, let's have a conversation. They're going to object regardless. So just get on with the other objections.
So how would
you
transition? Mike, how would you transition then from what the potential candidate says when he says no? How would you transition?
So if it's a live conversation, it's a lot easier, but it sounds like Rick, you're doing this through email, is that right? Or
No,
I'm live conversation.
He said,
okay, so
wake
if you're
up.
Having this, so if you're having this conversation on the phone, don't even play that, you know, little subtle game where you say, "Oh no, I never said that I was offering you. I never said anything like that." Why not just get on with? Look, I have an opportunity. I think it might be good for you. Not sure, but I'm glad we're having this conversation, and then go into it.
There's one thing that is off-putting about saying, hey, I have an opportunity that I think might be good for you. Is number one, I don't know them in most cases.
That's right, and that's why you're saying, but I'm not sure, so we're going to have this conversation.
No. So what I'm doing is so what I'm doing at that point, once I get them to say yes, I'm open to hearing. Now I'm going to spin it to, I'm going to try and get them to talk about them. Now, just going based off of what I think I know, which is most people are not completely 100% satisfied in their current role. What I think I know is that I can find some sort of pain point or something that bothers them about their current career if I can get them talking about it. So my next words out of my mouth are going to be something like, hey, look at, I understand you're not looking. Before I start talking about my role and why I called you, I'd like to find out a little bit more about you as a person. So what's happening in your current role that has you open to hearing about something potentially stronger?
I didn't say I was open.
They said they were open to hearing. Yes, they said yes.
What if they said no? My comeback would be, is there anything in your current position that could be improved upon that would make you happier within your job responsibilities? Something like that.
So, well, I've tried that before, and like it feels like fishing, right? So, like I'm looking for something. But if I take the opposite approach and I go, hey, look at, I totally understand you're not looking and you're happy where you are. So, what do you love about the place? And then I get them to start talking about what they like and what they, you know, I can understand the company. Maybe I can turn that into a business development call, right?
True.
Because
yeah.
I'm looking at it from the angle of, look at, if I can't recruit this person out, I can turn this into a business development call. So if I do a good enough, have a good enough conversation or get good phone with this person, what's going to end up happening is they're gonna trust me and maybe make an introduction or use me as their recruiter.
No, you're right. So, I've done that before. You turn it around into the opposite. I've done that before. And
every person you talk
to
is an opportunity.
Okay. You say we need to ask a question that's going to get the person talking about their pain. What was that question? Why would you talk to me? Is there anything that is that the question? What's the specific question? Why are you talking to me?
Yeah, so what's happening in your current role that has you open to hearing about something potentially stronger?
Hi, I'm recruiting
Animal.
Believe
it or not, that does
What do you hate about your
door.
Job? How about that? That's Michael G. Cox's approach. It's very direct. Hi, I'm recruiting Animal. I'm a headhunter. What do you hate about your job? Okay, I'm not trying to sell you something. Just want to know for the future. Spill. Okay? That's essentially your approach. Okay, but in the nicer words. Is that right?
Kind of, yeah.
Are you telling us that someone has said they're happy where they are, but they agree to talk with you, and they actually they end up telling you, yeah, you know what, I'll take a look at that. Does that ever happen?
It happens a lot. And actually, I get off calls where people say, thanks for not pitching me a job. You know, it was nice to actually have a conversation with a recruiter who talked to me first before you told me about something.
Okay, so you actually hang up without pitching a job? Tell us about that.
No. I kind of made it a rule that in the first, 15 to 20 minutes of the conversation or until I get to a point where I can qualify somebody in or out, that I don't talk about the company or the job or the perks or any of those other things, because without getting information from that person as to what's going to close them, what's going to interest them in where they're going to thrive, why would I start pulling a whole bunch of content out of my library and start feeding in them that content in hopes that they're going to become interested?
Okay, what if they have a 10 or 15 minute conversation with you and they actually like you and they, just like you said, and this guy's asking me good questions, he likes me, he cares about me as a person, and then you say, well, thanks, maybe we can talk in the future because you don't think the person's good for the job. And she says, well, aren't you going to tell me about this position you're working on? What do you say? I don't think you're good for it. It's not really for you.
No, I'll actually tell them a little bit about the role, and I'll tell them what they fed me. Like, hey, look at, they might say, hey, I like to be at a large company because I like to blend in, right? Well, this is a startup I'm working on. I don't see there's going to be a correlation for you. Would you agree? Yeah, I don't think so either.
No, send my resume in anyway. I want to take a shot at it. What are you going to say? If you've convinced yourself this job's not for this person, what do you do? How do you turn them on after you've suckered them in?
Suckered him in, huh? No, you know what? They don't know enough about it, and I haven't had that scenario where somebody goes, okay, well, again, I haven't told them about a job. If they're telling me about something that's completely off base from what I have for them or some of my clients, then it wouldn't serve them well and it wouldn't serve my clients well if I'm –
How do you make that clear to them, okay? They like you. You've come – you're telling us, look, recruiting animal, I think I might have a very strategic approach. I've thought everything out. I've thought the very words I use out, okay? So I lure them into a conversation with me, and then I talk to them about themselves, and I can decide I can qualify them or not. But also the point is that you're getting them to like you and trust you. So because of that, they'll say, okay, you know what? I'm going to give you a break. Tell me about the job. So then you're in a position, you tell them about the job, you say, you know what, I think I'd like to try that. But you've already made up your mind that you would never present this person for the job. How do you put that across to them? Are you going to tell me, oh, it never happens? Is that your answer?
No, I'm not going to say it never happens because it does, yeah. You never know what you're going to get in any call and how it forms out, right? Every call is different. The fact of the matter is that I'm going to disqualify them, let them know they're not a fit. I will get them to agree, but I will leave the door open because if they're a good person, when I do have something that is more in alignment with what they're looking for, usually if I tie it to what they're looking for and I say, you're not going to be a good fit in this position because this is exactly the opposite of what you're telling me or it's similar to what you have right now, logically you're not going to want to do that, right? So then I thank them and it opens up the door for me to close it for them. They get closure, which a lot of candidates appreciate because a lot of times they just don't ever hear back from
what
them.
What do you mean closure?
I would rather
what do you
give
mean
them
by,
closure right
What
away.
Do you mean by that? You go, hold on. I'm going to come back to that. I have to do an ad, okay?
Yeah.
I got okay. Sponsors to think about. You got a sponsor for your show as well, right? Right.
Honest's one of my sponsors as well. Yeah.
Okay, hold on a second. Hey, everybody, Recruiting Animal. We'll get back to this. This is a good show, I think. You know, you can criticize me. You don't have to agree with me. But I'm fine.
It has
interested.
Been. Very good
yeah,
show.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Okay. You just like it because you're talking, okay? Anyway, and Kathy's going to claim that I didn't give her a chance to talk. She's going to spread it all over Facebook like she does every single week, okay? But right now, or maybe she's hung up already, I'm going to talk about Hire Tool.
H-I-R-E-T. That's so untrue. So untrue.
Don't, Kathy, don't make me laugh. I got a sore throat,
okay?
H-I-R-E-T-U-A-L. Hire Tool, man. I got to use some other references. I mean, Trish Wydurka loves it, and she's a super sorcerer. I always refer to Amy Miller because she is so emphatic that it's her favorite sourcing tool. And, man, she's worked with the biggest companies in the world. Hire Tool, hands down, is what she says. I recruit engineering managers in big tech. I've done side-by-side comparisons between Hire Tool, AI, sourcing function, and another big brand name tool, and there was no contest. Hire Tool provided relevant results with full contact info. The other tool, meh, eh. Hey, somebody wants to discuss Hire Tool, go to Amy. She'll talk with you. You can find her on my Facebook group anytime, recruitingtricks.com. And you know what? I'm going to talk about PC Recruiter now, too. Nick Mazur, M-A-Z-U-R. You can talk to him. He's all over Facebook. He says, we use PC Recruiter, and we love it. I have demoed a ton of systems, and they've got the most robust set of features. That's a favorite tag word, robust set of features. Other products, they do one or two things better. But overall, I think it has the most features. We do multiple industries and four different types of searches. It's very versatile. I love it. I love it. I love it. Check it out, PCRecruiter.net. Rick, before we get back to the conversation,
yes,
last week the guest told me he didn't think I did a very good ad for PC Recruiter. He said there's nothing specific there to lure me in. Would you agree with him, or did you think it was good enough, an awareness?
No, I'm gonna agree with you. I think you did a fine job.
Okay, thanks. Okay, thanks. Okay.
I didn't like
okay,
your guest last week that much.
I'm gonna ask you. About okay, I can't remember what the closure you said. What's closure? I want everybody to comment on closure. I don't believe in closure. But go ahead. what do you say? You give closure. What's that? What's
I do, and you know what? I think it's due to the fact that I'm OCD. Like, I can't have things that are open, right? So, like, I have to finish or close things out. It's just the way I'm wired.
Yeah.
So, like, if I've got a candidate who's hanging, I like to close people out one way or the other. I like to just get them off my plate and not have people calling me 100 times trying to figure out what's going on. So giving candidates closure, which is what a lot of candidates want, I'd like to do that as quickly as possible. So if I can qualify them in or disqualify them out and we can agree upon it really quickly.
Can you get
can
to the point?
Turn around and give them
what
closure.
Do you say to
yeah.
establish closure? That's a question. Maybe I'm not specific enough.
Well,
what
you didn't
do you
ask
say?
Me that. All right.
Well,
so.
I thought anyone with a brain would figure it out. Sorry. Go ahead.
So closure to me is, hey, look, you're not a fit for this role, and here's what the role, like why I called you, but I'd like to keep you in the, you know, keep you in my wheelhouse for later on down the road. That being said, I'm not going to talk to you anymore about this role or submit you to it, and so that's where I'm closing it out. Now
what
I have the opportunity too, to ask for
can't.
Referrals.
Michael G. Cox, we didn't hear you. What did you ask him? Michael G. Cox, what's your question?
What about those situations where you don't have closure or you can't offer that closure because you haven't received feedback from your client yet and might not receive that feedback? What do you do?
This is
that
a different question.
That,
oh, you're going ahead of the game. This is the first conversation. He hasn't presented the candidate yet.
Okay, whatever. So what do you do when you can't because either the client hasn't gotten back to you or doesn't seem like they're going to get back to you, what do you do?
All right, so fast forward through the process. So, look, the beauty of doing retain search is that usually when somebody's paying you up front to do something, there's skin in the game and they give you feedback. So I usually try to – I learned this a long time ago, I think, from John Bartos. I set an expectations doc that I work with my clients. And through the candidates, these are my responsibility, this is yours. If we can agree upon it, we can work together. So that's what I do. I set calls up that are weekly where we have them on our calendar and I'm getting feedback. Now, if you're doing contingency search, it's definitely more difficult, which is why I got out of contingency search because it drove me nuts that I couldn't close things out because I didn't get, you know, feedback. Mm-hmm. So the what if I just say, like, I would just be really super persistent and call my manager 100 times a day until I got closure on it.
100 times? Really? 100
if I
times?
Had to. No, not 100. I'm
words,
totally over.
We're looking for words. This is a show that's very granular, okay?
Yes,
what
I
words
know.
Would you say to this hiring manager? Look, buddy, I worked my ass off to get you a good candidate, and now you're giving me the cold shoulder. None of that, okay? You're going to be sorry if you persist with this line of behavior. Is that what you say?
I'm not word for word, but like I'm pretty forthright about, hey, look, I'm not going to spend any more time on this, one. Number two, I'm just going to pull the person from the process. Or in my market, people move pretty fast. And the fact is that you get, if somebody doesn't give you feedback, you can guess 100% of the time they're out, right? Usually companies are really receptive. If they want somebody, they're proactive.
Okay.
So
you know, I don't like questions.
You know
that
actually,
doesn't happen
here,
to me. We ask the tough questions. It doesn't happen too often. Okay.
No,
that's
you know,
no good.
I got you. One of the other things I do is I build in with my hiring managers. I learned this from somebody a while back. So if the hiring manager is not interested, we build in a code word. So when I follow up with the candidate and the candidate says something like, hey, the hiring manager told me that you would get back to me with feedback, right? Because I tell my hiring managers to go ahead and set things up and set up the next layer in the interview process or give them feedback right away. So if they say Rick's going to get back to you, that's code to me that they're not interested in the candidate, and then I can close them out. Again,
okay. Hold on a second.
Know.
Wait a second. Kathy, yeah? Do you want to say something? I had to put you on mute because your line is lousy again. Do you want to say something, Kathy?
No.
I'm going to come back and forth to you, but if you want to hang up, I won't be offended, but I won't forget about you.
Thank you.
I won't forget about you.
Thank you.
Okay.
I wanted to hear you, Kathy.
I have to go. Michael G. Cox, I have to go back to that first call, okay? I want to know what specific questions you're asking the person in order to draw them out about their career wound, okay? That's a Lefkowitz term,
sure.
I think, and
totally.
You like that
totally,
term.
Yeah.
What do you,
I do.
What do you,
I do.
What do you ask?
Again, I mean, it just goes back to this, so what's happening in your current role that has you open to hearing about something potentially stronger.
And that's all?
Cases,
that's open sesame? That's open sesame
super,
for you? They spill their guts?
It is. It takes a little coaxing with some people because I do a lot of recruiting with engineers, so I have to really massage that a little bit. But for the most part,
what does
that's
that mean?
Where I start.
Okay, you can't say something here without explaining what it means. Get that through your head, will you?
Got it. So what that means is that, all right, so I open the door with that. They might say something like, well, you know, you called me. What do you got? Again, it's situational as to what they say. I'm going to just kind of dig in and ask why. I ask a lot of why. So what does that mean? And I just continue to ask. That is kind of open sesame for me, believe it or not.
Well, you don't say you hate your manager or you like your manager. You know, well, rate your manager on a scale of 1 to 10. You don't say that, right?
No, I don't do that. I think that's leading.
You're using the popular statistics. You said 85% of the people want to leave, and we also hear again and again, 75% of the time the people quit their manager, not the job. So you can almost assume they hate their manager, right? They don't like the manager.
Yeah. But so I'll let them tell me that, though. I don't want to lead them with anything because then it's me feeding answers to them, right? So
I think people, if they don't think about these things all the time, they don't articulate their pain to themselves. So you have to ask them. You know, the doctor's going to say, do you have a pain here? Do you have a pain there? You have to ask them. You lead them, unless some of them have been thinking about it and they're dying to leave and they know exactly why. You have to help them. You have to analyze their situation for them. Okay? That's my input there. Okay? Let me just see if Kathy agrees with me. Kathy, are you with me or Rick? Kathy, me or Rick?
I zoned out. I'm sorry.
Okay.
By the way, I think we're saying the same thing, Michael. I mean, Animal. I mean, the fact of the matter is that, like, you're right. You have to find out. You got to get them talking about what their pain points are, right, and their pain points.
Okay. My final question on this, I know people are bored already, but I have to get the exact – I have to know step by step what you're talking about. So what about referrals? You know, because you've made a point that you've built a close relationship with this stranger – in just, less than a half hour, they love you now, okay? Do you ask for a referral on the first contact if they're not suitable
for
the job?
If I'm going to develop them as a candidate, no. If I'm going to not develop them as a candidate, then yes, I'm going to. And
okay. Anybody want to comment? Anybody got to say something? Okay. Okay. No? No. What if a recruiter doesn't know what a custom search engine is? Is she a loser?
No.
No? No?
I mean, you could be a really good recruiter and not know what a custom search engine is, I guess.
Okay. Well, I just wonder your opinion. Okay. What about, so you don't believe in, like somebody posted on Twitter that, you know, establish a quick rapport with people you get on the phone for the first time, ask them questions about the essential skills. If they don't have them, get off fast. Don't waste 20 minutes talking to this person to figure out if they've got what you want or not. You don't agree with that approach, right? You're always on.
No, I don't.
With this.
No.
So you're on with everybody. Once you start talking, you're in for a full convo. Is that right?
You know what? Look, there's opportunity in every person that you talk to. That's the thing. It's you finding out where that opportunity lies. That person may not suit your needs right now, but there's an opportunity in having that live voice on the phone. It is so hard to get a live voice on the phone these days. Once you do get a hold of it, why don't you take advantage of it?
Amen.
Yeah. Okay, do you leave voicemails, by the way?
I do.
How many?
Not too often. I'm pretty rare about it. Usually after... Actually, I had one person that it took me about 31 days to get them developed as a candidate, and I started leaving, like, just random funny voicemails. So Maybe one a day at most, one every couple days.
Wow, what's a funny voicemail? I've never left one of those. What's a funny voicemail?
The one that he responded to was, hey, look it, I've left you 31 messages, and I just want to let you know that your voicemail and I are going to lunch tomorrow, and we wanted to invite you along. So if
okay.
you'd like to join us,
you know
give me a call back.
They hate me after 5 messages, okay? They'll get back to me after 5, but they don't like me. They just want me to buzz off. So you actually left 31 messages.
They don't like
messages.
Any of us.
Oh, you
I don't
know
ever
if
hear any
go,
recruiter going, God, I was hoping a recruiter would call me today.
Well, if you go on LinkedIn, every recruiter's got a list of people who love them, who think they're the greatest people in the world. Okay? Okay,
you're
818 area code. I had a 818 area code. I had to mute you. You've got a lot of noise or something happening in the background. Okay? So let me ask you, I'm going to do an ad for Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T, and you interviewed Nick Livingston, the boss over
and I,
there,
and
right?
I use
you know all about this.
And I use Honeit.
You know all about
and
this.
I love Honeit.
Do you want?
Yeah.
Okay, you want to do the ad?
What do you want me to say? I'm in. I'll give a testimonial for Honeit. I like Nick. Honeit's a great tool for you to capture and get all the basically the transcripts of the conversation, so you can actually anything that you might miss.
It does give you a transcript, but since you're not doing a great job on the – I appreciate the endorsement. I'll tell people what it is. Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T.com, is phone interview technology. It records your interviews and turns the key questions and answers into separate audio clips to help hiring managers hear the motivation, right, the personality, the enthusiasm that the recruiter just heard. Yeah, it gives you a transcript, but what you're interested in is the vivacity, the real-life sound that you can share with a hiring manager, the candidate's own voice. It delivers a ton of info you're not going to get from a resume or a transcript, right? So if you want to get a hiring manager excited about a great candidate, share some of that sizzle with Honeit, H-O-N-E-I-T.com. Okay, thanks. So when do you ask for a referral? Or do you never ask for a referral?
No, I ask for referrals all the time, whenever I'm closing out a process. So, like, I feel like if I've invested the time into the person, into the human, and I've done a good job of kind of giving them some sort of closure, then it gives me the ability to ask for, hey, look, since we've agreed this is not a fit for you, who do you know? Who are 3 or 4 people that you know that that you'd like to work with again? I mean, I ask referrals in different ways, but the fact of the matter is I get names from them. And
okay.
When
what if they said,
no longer
what if they said, Rick, I don't know anybody who's interested in making a move right now. What do you say?
I'm not asking who's looking. I'm asking who you know who's good in this particular area. I'm asking for names.
I really don't know anybody. What do you say? Here's what you have to say. Yes, you do. Don't give me that stuff, okay? You know people. Come on. I spent a half an hour with you on the phone. Don't make it a waste of my time.
Touché. Nope. I just learned something from the animal show today.
Okay. Okay, so you like at what point do you get? I want to know at what point you get tough. You've told us that you're a nice guy. You don't come in and pitch people and shove your message down their throat. It's not all about me. That's what you're preaching, okay? But then when it comes down to it, okay, you'll call somebody 30 times. I mean, it is you, okay? It is you, okay? I would never do that, okay? It takes guts. I admire you. I admire you for doing that, for leaving 30 voicemails, okay? So somebody who will leave 30 voicemails won't walk away without a referral once he's asked for it. Am I right or wrong? Or you say, okay, I'm not going to argue with you. I want to be your friend for later. Is that what do you do? Come on.
No, I get referrals. I mean, it depends on the scenario, but yeah, I don't ever get off a phone call without names. And for me, referrals aren't, I don't want them to feed me names and numbers, and I don't want them to contact that person. I just want them to give me the names of the people that they know are good, because there's so many tools out there. I can find email addresses and phone numbers, and I'm good enough to where I can do a cold call and get them. So all I want.
Well, what if you call? Hold on. What if you don't have a direct number and you call the front desk and the receptionist says,
There is no front desks in any of the companies that I work with. Everybody uses cell phones. In tech companies in the Bay Area, nobody has a voicemail system or phone systems anymore.
Okay, you just told us you don't just deal with, you recruit for startups, but you'll call people at big companies as well. And you're saying the big companies don't have receptionists or security?
I don't recruit for big companies.
No, you said you recruit for startups, but you recruit from big companies. You just gave us the example, okay?
Yeah.
I
want personal numbers. I don't want to go through.
Michael G. Cox, are you still with me? Are you still here, Michael G. Cox?
Yes.
Okay. Is his favorite answer, that never happens to me, okay? What if this happens? It never happens to me.
Maybe it's happened to him so long ago that he's forgotten.
Yeah. Okay.
That's true.
Here, I have
short-term memory loss like Dory.
Yeah, that's great. Now you got a good answer. Okay, somebody calls you when they call you up. When you don't want to talk to these guys, you tried to recruit them a year before, and now they call you and you don't want to work with them. You say, "I have short-term memory loss. Sorry, I don't have a clue who you are. I'll talk to you later." Okay. You say when you get a client, you immerse yourself in their culture. What does that mean? Okay, I've heard that before. What does that mean? You're an external recruiter. What does that mean?
I go in. Actually, I like to go in and analyze the interview process. I like to get an understanding of what their culture really is as opposed to what they say it is, because I feel like what the executives think their culture is and what the rest of the company feels like their culture is usually two totally different things.
Uh-huh.
So I need to find
Pep
out. I need to understand what
Pep
their culture is so that – I need to understand their culture so that when I get the right person
what are we
on
talk,
board.
Okay. What are we talking about culture? Can you define it for me? I mean, or give me an example of one of your clients. What is the culture? When I ask people what's your culture, work hard, play hard. It's usually like a one-liner.
Yeah.
They don't know what their culture is. It's this doctor situation again. They don't think about it, so you have to guide them through it, or you have to, I don't know, some people say they start sleeping at the company. They spend 3 days there watching everybody. Then they know what the culture is themselves. How do you figure out the culture? Give us an example. Come on.
Yeah, the culture is what happens. It's not the perks and all the bullshit that they put out there. It's basically what happens when people are around the water cooler or when people aren't looking, right? That's really what the culture is. I went into meet with the CEO who had all those great words like teamwork and collaboration and a bunch of other things behind his desk, and this was their cultural corporate values. And I asked him what they meant, and he walked me through it. When he walked me through the organization, I noticed that when we started walking and he was a very loud talker, all of a sudden, keyboard typing got really loud, and people started hiding their cubicles, and there was no collaboration. There was none of that, right? So people were afraid of that CEO. They were hiding from that person. They wanted to look like they were busy, even though they probably weren't. So that's what I mean by immersing myself in their culture. I'm going to go in and observe and see, like, really what's going on up there.
Okay.
And then when
and
I called them out on it afterwards –
what do you say to the potential candidates after? Hey, this is a place where no one likes a CEO. Do you tell them that? I walked around.
Yeah.
Everybody tried to avoid him. Is that what you say?
Well, I didn't take that one on as a client. I like to.
You're not
going to
tell you about a real client, dude?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you about it. I'm telling you about a culture that was there.
Yep.
So, yeah, I like to be transparent and tell everybody the good, the bad, and the ugly of every company. The fact of the matter is, if you're a company full of like combative people, then you need to hire people that thrive in that environment. You don't need to hire.
How do you find out that it's combative there? How do you find that out? Just by talking to the hiring manager? This guy's a very pushy.
I go spend time at the company. For example, I've got a new client that I've already spent about 4 hours over there. I'm going back over there on Thursday to spend another 4 hours.
What do you do there? They let you walk around for 4 hours. They let you walk around?
Totally. Yeah.
And what do you do what do you do during those 4 hours?
Well, we're going through the job descriptions. We're really defining what really needs to, what the person really needs to be. We're kind of I'm spending time talking to the people that are on the team to find out what they think they need, just to understand really what the culture is like, what the people are like, what kind of people need to interact. I mean, that's where I say
so what
when
words
I
do you
myself,
use?
Do you
sit down with these people and say, do you like your people on your team? What do you do when you have a fight with them? Do you ever have fights with them? Have you ever had a problem here that wasn't resolved? Is that what you say, or what do you what do you like about working here? You're analyzing. You're talking to the people, right?
Yeah. I'm going into, I use the same format all the way through. Like, I want to find somebody's pain point, what they desire, and what impact needs to be made.
Oh, so
right?
You sort of
so,
use a recruiting approach. You use the same approach you use on potential candidates. You use the same thing on the staff at your client companies. Is that right?
And the client development side, everything. Yeah, I use the same format.
Okay. You know what? I think, your show, everybody, in case you forgot already, Rick has a show called Higher Power. It's very disruptive, okay? I think you should have Michael G. Cox on, because Michael G. Cox is an executive at a big company. And you can tell right now, he's articulate, and he will challenge you on your show, okay? He's not a pushover.
Love it.
So, you should book him, okay? He won't be a guest on this show, but I believe he will be a guest on yours, okay? You should ask him.
Michael, drop me an email. I'll have you on, no problem. I'd love to.
Okay, I'll send you an email.
Thanks,
okay. Okay. Now, you say your job descriptions are designed to attract passive talent. What does that mean? And before you start blabbing, okay, I like exact words. I don't like to guess, okay? Don't speak in generalities here. Your job descriptions are designed to attract passive talent. What does that mean?
So here's what I put into job descriptions that most job descriptions don't have. One, I'm going to open up an idea of a pain point, just get somebody thinking about the fact that
what does that mean? Put it in words. Is there pictures? Words or pictures? It's in an ad, okay? What is it? What are you presenting exactly? No generalities. Get that through your head, okay?
Got it. So I'm going to open up the fact that as you mentioned, one, everybody hates their boss. There's a lack of there's three reasons why people tend to be open to looking. One is their leadership, their potential for growth, and the challenge of the work or the content of the work that they're doing. So I open up with some content that really addresses those three issues right off the bat. What is it that you hate about your job? So just to get them thinking. The other thing that I just build into the job description is performance metrics. What is the person going to be doing in the first 90 days? So I sit down with my clients and we outline, how do I know this person is going to be successful in 90 days? What do they need to accomplish? Most job descriptions don't have that. They have a list of, skills. And so that's where
Do you put that in the ad, actually? Do you put that, this is what your goal is going to be? Yeah?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. You told me top talent loves that. They love a roadmap of the expectations. Is that true?
Yeah, absolutely. If you know if you can see what your job is going to be, because most of the people, if you think about it, go into an interview and they're asked questions about their skills. And a lot of people are made offers without even knowing what the content of the work is going to be. They just know they're going to work on some part of a module or they're going to do something, but they don't know what the expectations of the job are. So top performers, if they know that there's some stretch there, and I'm going to throw out a Lou Adler term, but if they know that there's room for growth there, then they're drawn to it. They can see
okay.
whether they're going
to. You also – I'm going to speed it up, okay? I'm going to speed it up. You're a little laid back, okay?
I'll speed it up with you, baby. Let's go.
Okay. Yeah, you should have had a coffee or some actual speed before you came on the show. Okay, although you got a good voice and you're articulate. Okay, this is what you say. We analyze your hiring process. Okay, everything from your messaging, first contact, interview structure, through the offer presentation, acceptance, and onboarding. That is a consulting company, not a recruiting company. Are you presenting yourself to your clients as a consulting firm who's going to analyze their recruiting process from end to end and then charge them a special fee for that? Is that how that works?
No, I wrap it all in under a retainer fee. And the reason why I do it is because I've had so many startups that I've worked with in the past that when you present a great candidate to them, they've screwed up the interview process so bad that what ends up happening is the candidate calls you and says, I'm not interested in the company, and the company's scratching their head trying to figure out what's going on. So I wanted to fix that.
How do they screw it up?
Having a completely discombobulated interview process or no interview process at all, no direction. You know, people who are high performers, people who are good at their jobs, they want to know they're going into an organization that is taking everything seriously, and your interview process is indicative of what they're going to experience basically throughout their time at your company. So if you're not organized in your interview process, you're going to be judged by that.
You know, we had Daniel Chait. Daniel Chait was on the show a few years ago. Good guest, doesn't want to come back. Okay, and he said that most companies, like these IT companies, I'm pretty sure that's exactly what he said, their recruiting process is a shambles, okay? The person will show up, the candidate, and they'll just haul people in without any preparation to meet them. And so they ask them the same questions all the time that they – or they just pull something. They don't ask them the right questions. It's not planned. I can't believe that the people responsible for hiring in a small company that, you know, where everyone really has to come through, they are so irresponsible. Is that what you're telling me? That's true? It is a shambles.
Absolutely.
In these companies?
Absolutely, 100%. They put very little time into their interview and hiring process. They don't think about it because they're at such a scramble. Most of the companies just get they get in, oh, we just got funding mode, so we need to hire. And they put no thought process into it whatsoever. And then
okay.
They can't figure out
how do you get them to spend time with you? I mean, some of these hiring managers, they'll give you 10 minutes, okay? Somebody who's really important for their company, they don't want to spend time with you, okay? What do you say?
Yeah, usually it comes from the CEO, and I meet with the CEOs of the companies. I've been fortunate enough to be introduced to a lot of the decision makers, and usually when it comes from the CEO down, like there's always a pain that has happened there. They've lost a couple candidates. They're not able to find the right people, whatever it is. I go in and I help them fix that.
Okay, no, that wasn't the question, but, you know, how do you get them? When you say, this is what I'm going to do for you, and they won't give you the time. They want something, but they have to invest time. They just want to put it on your plate and say, I don't want to deal with this. You're going to deal with it for me, when actually you can only do it with their cooperation. We'll move on. I read some people say that onboarding is way more important for the future of the new hire than recruiters tend to realize, so that we should actually get involved. Every recruiter should get involved with planning the onboarding, even if they're not a retained consulting firm like you. Would you say that's true? I've never done it, okay? What do you think?
Well, I think that onboarding really starts at the interview process, if you think about it. The first point of contact with the company, that's your onboarding process. So, yeah, it's a continuation of it. But once you hand it off to HR, they should do a really good job of getting that person trained and show them.
Okay, so you don't think that I have to actually say, listen, you've got a desk for you starting September 28th. Is there a desk for her? Okay, is somebody going to meet her at the door and introduce her to everybody in the company and tell her how everything, you know, works, about the washrooms and, you know, where they can eat in the neighborhood, what restaurants? You don't arrange for a first-class welcome. Is that what you're saying?
I think what I'm saying is it's important that continue through, like your interview process continue through to the onboarding process. So if you're working contingency, it's your responsibility to make sure that person's happy there too. So, yes, you should be checking in on what the onboarding process is, because, quite frankly, your income is tied to it. I mean, let's just call it the bottom line.
So you're saying as well that if people don't get a good onboarding, they might not stay for the guarantee. Michael G. Cox, last word to you. Michael G. Cox, last word to you. Onboarding, are you still here?
I agree that recruiters should get involved in it. If it's something that you're not doing, it's an added value that you can provide very easily to a client.
Okay, so do you go to Michael G. Cox? Do you go to your hiring managers and say, look, I'm not just sending this person in and you guys ignore her. This is what you have to do, and I'm going to give you a process that you have to follow. Michael G. Cox, do you do that?
Yes, I created a process for our hiring managers to make sure that they take responsibility for, like, the first 90 days.
Okay. You sound a little calm about that. Rick will ask you to flesh that out when you're on his show, okay? Rick, what are your parting words? What are your parting words, Rick Girard? Rick underscore G-I-R-A-R-D. Parting words, what are they?
Parting words is really nobody wants to hear you call and pitch anymore. What they want you to do is listen. So if you want to be successful in your recruiting process, then maybe you should flip up what you're doing now and essentially give people the experience they want and not pitch them a job. Try it.
Okay. And my response to that, I'm no therapist. Thank you.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.